Welcome to this collaboration between Option Plus and Bitbank.fm Unwound. I'm here with Josh. Well, here, I mean, on the internet, of course. We are separated by a very long transatlantic cable. I can't pronounce it. So, welcome, everyone. Hi, Josh.
Hello. Let's get this kicked off. There we go.
Okay, I'm tuned in.
That's right.
Hope I won't drop out.
That's right. Right. Perfect. Yeah, great to be here. Like, great to been looking forward to talking to you.
Yes, me too. We should do. You know how people are making fun that now Bitcoiners interview each other how right they were about 100k Bitcoin. Mm. So. We should do that at some point, or maybe not.
but it hasn't hit 100k Bitcoin, so
yes.
So they're not right yet.
Yes, and inflation is pushing the target farther and farther away. 100k when Bitcoin started. Anyway, we have a much more pressing matter here because the Albicalypse is coming.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been. What I think has been interesting about this is, I'll be kind of like, and it's really, it's not like their fault, but they really onboarded a bunch of people. Everyone really enabled the, as far as I understand, the podcasting 2.0 kind of boom here. But for, I think, mainly custodial KYC reasons and kind of regulations, they are trying to migrate everybody. They're basically rug pulling. They're nicely rug pulling everybody. Which is understandable. And now it's like the tide has come out, and now everyone has, now there's that kind of like a scramble to find a solution. And so I guess what's nice is you've been doing this for quite a long time. You've got a few books that talk about the different lightning options. So, it's like very curious to talk to you about this. But I think there's a lot of questions I still see is like, why, and maybe this is a nice place to start, is like, why can't people just keep using the KeySend, which is the main podcasting method that everyone's using. So, like, what's wrong with KeySend, and why is that not going to work anymore? For some people, I think that's the question. Is like, what's,
yes,
yeah,
yes. So basically, let's maybe start what is going to happen and why people are using Albi. So you are listening to a podcast, hopefully using Podcasting 2.0 app that can stream sets and boost. That means that there are some Lightning payments involved per minute, which are actually batched, but they're accounted for per minute, and if we are exceptionally insightful or funny, you can boost us, and that's a payment with a message. On both sides, on podcaster side, and at least I think, but especially on the listener side, there has to be an integration between a podcasting app, such as Fountain or what are the Podcast Guru,
Podverse, these kind of Breeze.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the problem here is that if someone is making a podcasting app, they don't necessarily want to implement a Lightning wallet, some do. Fountain has an integrated wallet, and Breeze is actually a wallet that can also play podcasts. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the other way around. So what these other apps have done, especially those that are web-based, is that they outsourced all the Lightning mess and how payments are processed to Albi, which was like an API. You would do something like similar to whatever, Facebook Connect or something. You would sign in, kind of pair your client to your wallet. And the app would just basically over some API say, you know, pay this podcaster, they're cool and funny, and Albi would handle the payment. So they're turning off this. Oh, what is happening? Yeah. Explain.
Yeah. So I just set up this. We'll have to take this detour, but I just set up. So I just set up today my cassette answering machine, and it is a analog cassette answering machine. It is. I have a analog telephone adapter connected to a VoIP service, and it's got two cassettes in there. One 20-second tape loop for my outgoing message, and then this incoming message that's set for 30 seconds, and then people can call and leave voicemails. But it has this feature, I guess, where, so you can do 30 seconds or 3 minutes, but if you hang up before the time is done, it just beeps, fills that time. So I either have to listen to a 30-second beep fill or a 3-minute beep fill. So I've set it to 30 seconds, and then but people then get cut off because they don't realize how short it is. But so yeah, people are
so
calling in.
Someone was leaving a message.
So someone was leaving a message. Yes,
an old school voicemail.
Yes.
Okay. I have also left you a message. So now I can hear it from the other side.
Yes.
It's basically the same except for the beeping that I don't hear.
Yes.
When
yeah.
I hang up.
Yeah, somehow, yeah, I have to look into that. But I don't know why it doesn't detect the phone hang-up signal on certain calls. But yeah, anyway, so that, yeah. So that may or may, I'll try to mute it when it comes on.
All right. I wanted it to be on, I think.
Okay, yeah,
it's fun.
We'll
see.
Many, yeah.
Like, yes, hopefully.
Okay, so, yeah, so
hopefully
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Many.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
All right,
Yeah.
So
let me try to summarize what you had, because some of this is also, I came in this new. So we had Albi that was acting as this API for, you know, this is Albi now, not Albi Hub, like the OG Albi, was acting on this API for certain podcast apps to integrate with, so that they, as a podcast listener, I could have this account with Albi with some sats on it. Then when I boosted a podcast, such as this one, it would actually make an API call to Albi, and then Albi would do the Lightning payment. Is that correct summary? Okay.
So one of the features of Albi, unlike many other custodial wallets, is that it could actually do the key send. So what's a key send? So normally when you use Lightning in any contemporary setup, except for podcasting 2.0, you would actually pay an invoice one way or another. So you would get a string starting with LN BC, for example. That would encode the node pub key, where to pay, how many sets, description and some technical details, expiry, hash of the payment, and so on. So one feature of this invoice is that it is one-time use. It can only be paid once. So that's different to a Bitcoin address, for example. With KeySend, what you could actually do is you would only have node pub key. And you would just say over the Lightning protocol, send some sets to this node, and it would just go through without any invoices or anything like that. So that's like it is very understandable that they have chosen this way for streaming sets to actually work, because otherwise, you would need to figure out how to get the invoice, but we will have to figure it out. So
because
that's a
otherwise,
problem.
So why was KeySend was there a use case in? So basically, KeySend, you know, is someone can just send you money, which is like it's like an email. Like you can just send. Once it is set up, you have the node pub key. You can just start pushing sats to someone's node without really their permission. So was there a use case for Keysen besides podcasting when Lightning was first created, or what was the?
I don't know, but yeah. There was all this talk about streaming sets, not only for podcasts, but for like charging electricity and so on. You can one important thing about Keysend is that you can create, you can also include some tags and values, which can kind of identify what this payment is for and include some more data about it. So that's how some services can, for example, identify when they run only one node. For many users, they can identify what the payment is for. So if you set up your value for value podcasting, you would probably do this key value thing with some weird strings there. So
okay, is that because you there's a tool that you made that integrates with C Lightning to look at the LN invoice, I think, to see the message of like what the podcasting 2.0 community calls a boostergram. And is this the inside that is the metadata you're talking about where you would put some of that information?
It's in the description of the payment. That's I think another thing. It's basically some JSON formatted extra data. I don't know actually where it comes from. List invoices on my node just pops it up, so I saw it and parsed it. So what you are talking about is I made this podcaster dashboard because I really don't like LND, so I run a Core Lightning node, which I don't love. I don't think it's a super great idea to write a Lightning node in C, which can have like buffer overflows and fun like that. But I don't like LND. Like it's they're lost. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more later. But so I am running a Core Lightning node, and all these fancy tools for podcasting 2.0 were made for LND. So
right.
So I instructed my friendly AI model to code me a dashboard.
Yeah,
and it's working. It's pretty neat. So.
Nice. Yeah, it's like the, I think the LND one is called Helipad, and it is similar, I know the Podcasting 2.0 people are using it with like a graphical, there's a whole GUI, and they can see it on a web page. So they sit there and will read the boost as it comes in. And so this data is then in part of the JSON, it's part of this JSON packet that's coming in with the message.
Yes.
In the Keysend payment.
Yes.
So, all right. So Keysend, basically, if I'm just trying to summarize here. So Keysend then lets you is kind of seems to be geared to sending payments without an invoice, without an amount. So I can just freely send. And it has this ability to ride data in the entire JSON packet. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's what we've had forever. So now the thing I'm curious about, because I'm kind of coming into Lightning a little bit, is so Keysend existed, but then there was this then there was these other payment methods like Bolt 11 and some other things that I'm probably skipping a few, but then why doesn't Keysend work for other, like why did the community make other Lightning payment methods? Like what's wrong with Keysend made these other ones?
I think one problem is proving payments and like being able to pay only once, which is a nice feature. By the way, I was able somehow to pay a Bolt 11 invoice. I was buying something and I paid more by paying simultaneously from two nodes. And I don't know how it's technically possible, but actually the merchant wrote me that you send us more money, but there was an amount in the in the invoice. It was not like a free invoice, and I just scanned it and hit pay. But it's timed out on one node, so I paid it with another wallet, and somehow the prehash got propagated and took the payment also, part of the payment from the first node as well. So this was the idea. The reason I told you this story is that it's not perfect. But basically, this idea of signed invoices. You can make sure that it comes from the node. If you know the node key is signed. The prehash is basically a confirmation of the payment. So if you have a prehash and an invoice that was signed by the node, you have proof of payment, which is useful because you can prove that you paid the merchant. There's an expiry, which is also nice because when people want to hedge the exchange rate, for example, on the other side, they want to make sure that, you won't pay the invoice tomorrow when you wake up. You need to request a new invoice with a new amount. So it has all these nice features, and I actually like it. So with KeySend, you can think about it as a permanent address, like a Bitcoin address. You can send whatever amount, how many times you want. Invoice is one time, it can include an amount, it is signed, you can prove that you paid it, and it contains, a description, some kind of identifier, and so on. Okay. It can also include, so another thing why invoices became popular is that they support private channels, and you can include route hints. So you can say, oh, maybe you don't see how you can reach me through the Lightning Network. Here are some hints. If you talk to this node, they will know how to pay me. Oh, maybe they have a private channel. So you can actually add a little bit more into a Bolt 11 invoice, which is what you call a Lightning invoice these days.
Okay, so that sounds, so Vault 11 sounds like the typical kind of like coffee shop kind of use case, or services use case. I go to get coffee. I want the flat white, hipster flat white from hipster coffee shop, and they ring up the invoice, they present the QR code, I pay it, the Lightning wallet, and there we go. now we're getting there. We go. Okay. So then that's the, but the problem with Vault 11, not really a problem with Vault 11, the problem with like invoices in general is that it's not a tip jar, right? So once I put it up there, it has this one time. I did troll people on Nostr pretty hard right before we talked and said, hey, definitely do not call me. Definitely do not. Definitely, the volume is set really loud. This would be an inopportune time. So it is. It is. It was set up all morning, and no one. I was sad that no one was calling, and so I just had to put the proper beep. And now, okay. So, but yeah, I'm glad I kept it to 30 seconds. Okay, yeah. So Vault 11. So great for this kind of invoice. I somehow ahead of time to send this particular amount that's either arranged, in a shop or a priori or something. It sounds like it has this, but the routing thing I've seen be a problem before with KeySend, because especially with new nodes that have very few channels, the Vault 11 seems to fix this. And, okay, so that's Vault 11. But then the issue would be for podcasting is you would have to either programmatically always generate a Vault 11 or somehow you'd have to have this back and forth where I want to send you this boost. I want to send you X amount. Then it makes me an invoice and I pay it. So it could work. There's nothing preventing it from working with podcasting. It's just like this kind of infrastructure doesn't work. You probably need some other server or something to facilitate these kind of payment flow, which seems awkward.
But it's what we will end up doing. So let's go there.
Yeah, true. Okay, yeah.
Because this is where it leads actually. Because the client apps really, the wallets, the APIs, they don't support and don't want to support this KeySend. For example, you can have one of the options for the Albicalypse for the listener side or the payer side will be Cashew Mints, which can pay Bolt 11 invoices. And in order for the payment to be atomic, you need the pre-hash thing, because that's how the mint can prove that it has paid the invoice and the token is spent. So they, like, there is no trustless way or trust minimized way to kind of avoid these invoices. Anyway, so I think, like, when we you send me the podcasting 2.0 podcast episode, and it seems like the people doing the specification for value for value in podcasting, they kind of are at peace now with the fact that they will have to pay invoices, or that they will have to find a way to pay invoices and get away with KeySend, because they're not going to convince the whole industry of Lightning wallets to start supporting KeySend, because it's a much smaller group of people who are into podcasting 2.0, so it's just not going to happen. One of the criticisms for this is, okay, you need a little bit more back and forth. Like, you need, okay, you need to ask someone to generate an invoice for you, get it, and then pay it. And KeySend seems like more straightforward. That's what they were also talking about in the podcast. It's true. It is more communication, but even like simple payment doesn't matter how it's paid. It's like for three hops, for like if you pay through three channels, if I counted correctly, it is still 21 messages back and forth just to settle that micropayment. So like, okay, give me an invoice and pay it will be two messages more. So it's like
21 messages for a key. You're saying it's 21.
If it's three hops.
Three, oh, I see.
For three hops, because you need, when you're, and I probably, it's more conservative, maybe it's even more, basically you need to add the HTLC to every commitment transaction, so that's like four messages back and forth, and then you settle when the when it's paid, you basically clear it out. So so it's chatty, like Lightning itself is chatty. So adding like two more packets back and forth for like give me an invoice and here's the payment, it's I don't think it's like that much of a difference. So but yeah, it is a little bit more chatty, but I don't think this is such a big problem. We are sending messages back and forth anyway.
I see. But one of the things that came up out of this is that most of the podcasters, I think, are running their node on one of the either Umbral or Start9. And I think a lot of them are using Start9, which has this current feature of basically making, you know, people are running it at home, their Start9 boxes at home, and they're using Tor to expose external ports. So there was, for example, I even tried to look in to some of the Lightning other options, and there were some, it wasn't clear to me if it had to be like a ClearNet, like it basically had to be publicly accessible or not. So in these other...
No.
Okay, so yeah. So the fact that it's behind Tor, actually, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. Right. It's a peer-to-peer network, so you can route through it even... you can even do Onion messages now within the Lightning Network protocol, so you can ask another node to pass a message to you. So, like, I don't know in practice, but...
yeah, okay.
The theory of the protocol is that this shouldn't matter, and this... one more thing. I don't think you are right. I think most podcasters actually use Fountain or something custodial for the receiver side. They just give the...
Oh,
because
that's true.
Those that run their own nodes maybe use Start9, I think even from the podcasting 2.0, like most of my guests on the podcast, I just tell them, you know, send me your Fountain address or Albi. It used to be Albi. So Yeah, I think now most of them just use Fountain as a wallet, but it's again a custodial wallet, and we'll see how long they'll be
Yeah, right.
comfortable with this.
But that's, see, that's the concern, right? Is that you Fountain is the I have nothing against Fountain, but like Fountain, is people are going to Fountain, and then I don't know, they could get the knock on the door, whatever. I
Yes.
don't know what jurisdiction Fountain is in, but anyway, they get the knock on the door, and then they're going to have to do a similar thing that Albie's doing, and they're like, guys, we
Yes.
can't let you. I mean, so this is there's I
I
mean that.
think that's not even that. I think there is one more problem is that when you are running this service and suddenly you realize you have a lot of user funds, like when it really grows, you will just have other people's money. And I'm not sure that I'll be actually got a knock on the door, maybe, or like I'm not sure if it's a regulation thing. I think like because they also had for a long time like invite only sign ups and like they were kind of, I think they were just not comfortable with holding, other people's money, which is understandable. I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, right.
It's a note with private keys online on the internet. If someone hacks
Hot wallet.
it. So yeah. But anyway, so what we were talking about before my oh that it's going over Tor and so now let's talk about how you can get the invoice. There are protocols for that, and this is what the conversation is about. So easiest. Oh, wait, something happened. I think we are good.
Yeah, looks good on here.
So one way how to get the invoice is someone somehow sends it to me as a string, of course. Not really usable for value
We're
for
talking about
value.
ball, sorry, we're talking about ball 11
Vault
invoices, or
11.
okay, ball
Yes,
11.
yes.
Okay. And so the situation you're setting up is I'm a podcaster and I want a ball and I have a ball 11 invoice, and this is how this is the picture you're painting. Okay, got it.
Maybe one intermezzo. Nostr basically has similar problem. They don't use keysend, they use Lightning address, which we'll talk about what it is. But I think a good solution for value should be ideally the same solution that Nostr ends up with, because people do podcasts, they like this integration of podcasting 2.0 and Nostr would be nice. I've heard that podcasting 2.0 are not very happy about Nostr, or not super fans. Like, yes, Nostr is very boring, that's why I love it. J
Go
just
ahead.
saying that Nostr has the same problem. There are creators that want to be paid. And they use some kind of service. It used to be Albi as well on the receiver side, and also on the wallet side. There usually should be a way for the Nostr client, at least the Twitter-like clones, for the event kind one, basically the short message, social network message. We should be able to pay the creators and send zaps each other. So it's basically the same problem. How do I get the invoice? So
Yeah, the same
Nostr
problem.
uses.
Sorry, just to summarize, the same problem, meaning that both of them are both Noster and podcasting 2.0 are unique in that the payer is deciding how much to pay, which is
Yes.
the com which is different than the coffee shop use case. So in the so if we just generalize this, we're talking about content creators in a value for value world. The payer is deciding how much value to return, which is a different payment flow because they can either send, send one sat or whatever, 33 sats, but they're deciding. And so
Yes.
that's why we're saying, okay,
That's one thing, and then another thing is that when you are paying in the coffee shop, the receiver is there. It's online. You are interacting with someone that is online, which for a podcaster, maybe you as a podcaster are not online, but you have a node that is online usually. Something is serving the RSS feed, something is serving the files, so something is online. But with Noster, it can be, you know, my grandma, and she went to sleep and she put her phone into airplane mode and she doesn't have a node or a server or anything. So this is a little bit trickier in the Noster side, and it would be good if we found a way how to kind of solve this problem in the same way for both Noster and Value for Value, because right now I was like, for example, my first guest for a podcast that I wanted to stream sets to in a 50-50 split. I just asked her, give me your wallet of Satoshi address, because I thought, you know, that's what you put on Noster, so that's how Zaps work. So I put it there, but of course it doesn't work because wallet of Satoshi doesn't support KeySend.
Yeah, right. Okay.
The receivers, what I'm saying, it doesn't necessarily have to be the podcaster that is hosting the RSS feed. It can be a guest, it can be an editor, a sound technician, a music artist, and so on. We can't assume that they have a note online, or we can assume, but then it would be custodial. Just a framing of what are the considerations. So how do we get the invoice? So if we come at peace that this is going to not use the KeySend flow, but invoices, we have several options. There is some third party service, some API that gives us the invoice. You know, that is an option. There is a standardized API, which is called LNURL. That's in a form of a URL. It's basically a service. You send a request to it, and you get a Bolt 11 invoice back. So that's one way. Of course, invoices are not very nice, not very user-friendly. They're quite hard to migrate if you want to use a different service or something like that. It would be nice if it would be possible to have it in a form similar to an email address. So that's what an LN address is. So an LN address looks like an email address. So it's username at domain. And there is a way to look up the LN address. Actually, there are two ways. That's starting to get complicated. But basically, what it does right now, it returns an LN URL. So a URL form. And then you need to go to the LN URL to get the invoice.
Okay, so this was the thing that this was the thing I tried to look into and found that it was, I thought this was difficult to do with the Start9 tour situation. So I looked up the LN. Yeah. So I looked up, tried to do an LN address, which is similar, I think, to like a NIP5. You put a well-known JSON domain. Okay. So I can get that. So it was easy to get, that set up. But then trying to get the LN address for the client application to reach the server to get the invoice, that's where I got stuck,
so,
because it was like,
so this is a big problem, and I think many more people will get stuck on this. The flow, so what you just said, so basically the way it works is the wallet that wants to pay, or the client, the podcasting app, goes to the domain slash dot well known slash something, and it gets a JSON file, and the JSON file says, okay, I know about this user, and this is the LN URL should you want to pay this user. Very similar to NIP5. NIP5 is a Nostr verified address. The structure is a little bit different. I think NIP5 is one big JSON file for all the users at the domain, and LN address is a well-known, I don't know, LN address, and then username, and just for one. But the flow is basically the same. So you go to the web server. This web server serves a static file. It doesn't have to know anything about Lightning. So you can have an LN address on a totally dumb machine where you just put a text file. But then there needs to be something that speaks LN URL.
Yes.
It still doesn't have to be your node. So you can still have your start nine somewhere in the basement and something that can get invoices somewhere else, but they need to be connected somehow, and this is not easy to do. So that's why I don't like this solution, and it seems that people are kind of converging to this solution. So this was one of the reasons we started talking about this, actually. And I was like a little bit complaining that this doesn't look right to me, especially for the Nostr use case, or the, you know, not the podcast host, but guests and sound editors and all the other people, they might not run a web server with LN URL and well-known file and something that generates the invoices.
Because basically, well, I'm glad you're mentioning it. Because basically, so the options, if you self-host this, is now you need the web server, which I think most podcasters have their own domain. So that part was easy. You have the Start9 node. They have that. The issue is this bridge software, which has this bridge gateway thing that has to be both publicly accessible and connected over Tor to the thing. So now you need, this is the weird component. And then for the Nostr case, it's even more confusing because it's like, what do I do with this? And I think the third thing, which in some discussions I had with some people, is that this is basically what Albi does. Like Albi, I think, provides this service of converting. Yeah. So does
Wallet of Satoshi. You can get an LN address. One interesting thing that can provide you an LN address is a service like npub.cache, which basically creates an LN address and converts it into a cashew token and sends it over to you over Nostr. Which is nice because you don't have to be online. When you come online, you just receive your direct messages from the service, collect all the tokens, and claim all the sets. So so it's kind of semi-custodial, but you can do that.
So it's like an inbox for inbox
sets.
What? So, all right. So just, okay. On that note, someone just told me right before this call that if I change this voicemail to 3 minutes, that they would probably start sending me cashew tokens over audio to
email
system. Yeah. So I have to dust off that I was looking into how to convert I need to make like a Twilio web page or something you paste it in. It converts it into the audio format, I can decode it, sends it, calls me and then comes back. I think the subtext of all, because you've mentioned it a few times, but the subtext here is I think maybe you're thinking about some cashew-based. Like, I'm wondering if there's some cashew-based, because like you've since mentioned it, and I've experimented with it as well. But I don't want to reveal your secret if that's what you're leading up to.
I don't know the secret yet, but yes, we can talk about cashew as well. What is nice about it is basically it's a way to receive and send sets. Mm-hmm. It is semi-custodial, but you can choose your custodian and you can run it. So you can what you can do with npub cache. I'm not sure, but with these services, there's an open source implementation. you can have an LAN address that sends you sets on your own cashew mint. So it doesn't have to be that you give your sets to a third party. But you don't have to be online, and like there is some node that has to be online, the mint or and the relays that receive the token and so on. But necessarily, like, your wallet doesn't have to be online. What Cashew also allows you to do, which is quite nice, is it is possible to lock the token into a pub key, because you can have a Bitcoin script. So they can, like, they can even be like pasted publicly if if they are locked to your public key. So basically, there are ways that how you can use this with Cashew. And they're like super lightweight. So for like streaming sets, it's nice because it's a small string. You send it once, and it's even like easier than a Lightning payment, because it's like just a string. You send it once, and it goes through. But it's semi-custodial. It's not as standardized, and maybe the Fedi people wouldn't like that. So, you know, we converge to Cashew and so on. So, what is interesting, I think, in this case, is this integration with Lightning address. I think that's that could be used, and that's pretty cool. And on the payer side, we will talk about that a bit later. But it's also a way to have an API, so kind of to replace Albi with an API of a Cashew Mint that can also pay the invoice. So for the creators of these apps, I think this is a very, very nice way to do it as well. Anyway, so problem with LAN URL and LAN address is you need a domain name, so you need to rely on domain name system. With podcasting, you kind of do, but maybe the editor doesn't want to rely on it, because, you know, domains get censored, deleted, you know, you forget to pay, and you already have a pub key. So anyway, another thing is this web server that has to be online and be able to interactively with it, with some kind of Lightning node. So there's Bolt 12. Now let's talk about Bolt. Bolt 12, which I like as a solution the most, to be honest, even more than Cashew. The problem is we won't make it with Bolt 12 until Albicalypse is when is it again? In January or in March?
They're saying January 5th is when is a, I think January 5th is this. So it's it used to be January 26th, and then people looked it up, and it's actually... And I think there's, like, some nuance to what is actually collapsing, but, like, it's not, like, I can't remember. It's slightly more nuanced, but, yeah, for a lot of people, it is going to affect some things. So, it's pretty quick.
it's like the Mayan calendar, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So,
Apocalypse is coming,
Yes, thousands of years ago, they were anticipating this, and then just they kind of you know the precision back then of analog calendars. You got to give them some slack,
yes,
you know.
Yes, they were they didn't foresee Satoshi being a little bit lazy and releasing Bitcoin.
Few
years later. All right.
Okay. So we have. So this is Bolt 12, which is. Like the latest, I'll let you know what I know of it, which is not much, and then you can.
All right.
So Bolt 12, I know, because it started. I think I started to hear it in detail in the summer when I was at Prague, and the advertising marketing that I know of Bolt 12 is that, you know, it's like invoice based, but it has some nice privacy features that, and somehow like this was the main thing that really Bolt 12. So there's two main things that these are my takeaways. It has added privacy features, although I can't speak in detail to what they are. And it has the ability to, unlike a Bolt 11 invoice, to be like a static QR code. So you can reuse this QR code. So these are the two marketing bullets that I know of Bolt 12, and that's basically the extent of my knowledge.
Yes, they are right, both of them. I learned about the privacy features again today because I forgot about them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're
okay.
basically blinded paths, so it is adding privacy to the receiver side. The sender side was already private, so it's
okay.
basically
mm-hmm.
like meet in the middle kind
mm-hmm.
of payment, and it's using Onion messages and Onion routing. So it adds privacy for the receiver, which is nice. The static QR code, so there are two types of Bolt 12's standard,
mm-hmm.
how do you say it, URLs or QR codes or
okay.
however
mm-hmm.
it's encoded. One is called Bolt 12 offer that starts with LNO. And that's basically the reusable invoice. And that basically says, hello, I am a note.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to pay me, this is how you can reach me. And I will give you an invoice. So it's the same thing LN URL
yeah.
does and
okay.
LN address does. What is nice about this, you do all this chatting over the Lightning Network.
Mm.
So you use Onion messages peer to peer. You can reach the node if it's if it's behind Tor and you are not.
Mm-hmm.
It is a direct way how to ask a node to give you an invoice.
Mm-hmm.
So when I realized this, a friend of mine Urza has written a nice software that is called Pay2. It's on
P-A-E
GitHub.
Two, yeah, number
pay,
two or?
Pay two. No, T-O.
Oh.
Okay.
P-A-O.
E-A-Y. It's a command line utility for Core Lightning. And you can say pay two and paste anything. So LN URL, LN address, Bolt 12
okay.
offer,
nice.
Anything. And it will figure it out. It will get the invoice over LN URL or Bolt 12 or whatever, display it to you, tell you how much you can pay, what is the minimum, what is the maximum, write a description, and
mm-hmm.
then it will figure out the way how to pay it. So
mm-hmm.
if this worked with the podcasting wallets, we would be super happy because you would
yeah.
just paste anything into the value recipient.
I see.
Tech and everything could be paid. Anyway, so when I heard this, that this is the flow that you basically ask the node to give you an invoice, I thought, okay, let's create a REST service that does it for anything. Because this node, to get the invoice, you don't need any channels, you don't need anything. You can just send a message through the Lightning peer-to-peer network and
mm-hmm.
say, hello node, I have your offer, give me an invoice, and
mm-hmm.
then this REST service would just give the, let's say, the podcasting wallet, the client wallet, this invoice to pay. The
mm-hmm.
problem is that it's Bolt 12 invoice, and they're not compatible. So, this is a way, like,
yeah.
You don't necessarily need to support Bolt 12 offers because you can convert them to invoices with a fairly like small piece of software. It doesn't have to be in the node, actually. It can be anything
okay.
that can talk the protocol. So it can be like a public service, but then the problem is that your node needs to pay Bolt 12 invoice, but this is more common than being able to pay Bolt 12 offers. So it still might be. So Core Lightning
okay.
supports Bolt
yeah,
12.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Eclair, LND, what is it? The Lightning Development Kit or something.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. LND doesn't. So LND is
yeah.
the only widely used software that doesn't directly support Bolt 12,
okay.
even paying Bolt 12 offers. But there is a software which is called LNDK, not to be confused with Lightning Development Kit, which is, I think, LDK.
Oh, okay, yeah.
LNDK, which is this small piece of software that can talk to LND and figure out how to pay Bolt 12 invoice. So the payer side,
yeah,
you can, like, okay, you can't pay it, like, let's say, through Cashew or... Like, there are still many wallets that can't, like, parse and pay Bolt 12 offers.
Yeah.
But when you look at the nodes, the actual nodes that are underlying all these programs, yeah, there is, all of them have a way to pay Bolt 12 offers.
Even LND. Like,
yes. So Strike uses LND on the background.
Okay.
And they kind of pushed it. And Strike now allows to pay it, and they even pay Bolt 12 offers. And they even have some kind of tooling how to test interoperability and so on. And I think that they've been somehow involved also in this. But yes, they are using this LNDK for the Strike customers to be able to pay pay Bolt 12 offers. So
okay,
the payer side, like, okay, like, really, there are wallets that can't pay it. I don't know, like, mm-hmm, Cashew probably mm-hmm, cannot pay Bolt 12 offer,
mm-hmm,
but it's wider than people believe it is, actually. Like, there are many wallets that can actually, mm-hmm, pay these Bolt 12 offers. Receiving
many
them,
wallets, but not the podcasting clients yet, but
yes,
the direct Lightning wallet.
Know how to, yes, but they don't know how to pay.
Yeah, they don't. Right, they don't
Bolt
have to pay
11 either.
Okay,
they can talk Albi API like the.
Yeah, these so people. So a Lightning wallet. I don't know, probably like Breeze, but Breeze is also a podcast player. But like,
yes,
yeah. Okay. So they can all pay. So you're saying, to summarize what you're saying,
not all, many of, okay, like, the payer side is easier, I would say.
The payer side for Bolt 12 offers is pretty well supported right now. Is the summary of that, of what you're saying.
Yes.
I
think that's my impression. At least the node software, like, for major, like, Lightning nodes, there is a way to pay Bolt 12 offer. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not sure about the real wallets that people use. I don't know, you know, because,
well, yeah,
Breeze,
I think,
like,
yeah,
like, Breeze has LND in it, but probably,
yeah,
not LNDK. I don't know if you can, I can actually try. Let's see. While we're talking, I'll try to pay some offer.
Well, I think, yeah, this is also, I guess the other thing is that, like, I think there are, there's other categories of users, right, where there's, I think, a lot of users who really aren't, you know, are mainly in the U.S. Is, like, Strike even available in, like, I've used Strike in Europe to pay things, but can, without doing,
I don't think I can register for Strike.
The Google Play Store has a Strike, because I thought that they did something where they went into Europe and I think they left or something, or
that's the only reasonable thing to do if you are offering this kind of service with current regulations. But then it's also KYC and
So I would say there's, like, categories of even Bitcoin users, right? So you have, if you take, like, the cypherpunk KYC-free kind of people, who I think a lot of this, we're talking about those kind of options. But then if you, in the U.S., I would say there's a lot of just Strike users who are very, whatever, it's KYC, but they're comfortable using Strike. But what's the equivalent, like, Strike wallet for Europeans that is, like, is there something that is not, or is there no middle ground?
I'm not much into custodial wallets, so I don't know. Like, a lot of people use Wallet of Satoshi, which is a custodial solution. Oh, there is actually, there's a Anycoin, the Czech exchange, has a pretty widely used wallet, actually, which is called Bitlify. Yes, Bitlify, I think.
Okay,
yes.
I think I've heard of that. Okay.
That's like Venmo. You can also pair it with a phone number, and you can receive sats on your phone number. So
I would, because I think that, okay, so the two biggest, I think, in the U.S. are, at least I hear people using, are Cash App and Strike, which allows a KYC option to then send in sats.
But still, does it have an API? Like, somehow, well, like, you can send a boost probably by clicking send, but, like, you can't stream sats, really.
Correct. I don't know how it gives you a Strike, for example, has a LN address, so you can be like
for receiving
yeah,
but for sending, like when you want to stream sets,
I don't think it can stream sets.
I don't know.
You can send. I mean, I've used it for Nostr payments.
Yes,
Nostr,
yes.
Zap,
but that's just a Bolt 11 invoice.
Bolt 11, yeah.
Yes.
But I don't think it can do. Yeah, I don't think it does key send. So this is the. This is the
So back to Bolt 12.
Okay,
I personally think this would be the best solution for both Nostr and value for value.
Mm-hmm.
Just not right now, because it still needs the magical lightning 18 months to be implemented widely.
Right. But the question I have Bolt 12 is, okay, so say you're, how does it fix the Nostr grandma use case where I onboarded grandma and she gets to receive. So how does Bolt 12 change that situation for her?
For offline receiving, it doesn't change. She would need to use some service that would like hold the sets for her and convert it to cash or send it to her.
Yeah.
Or a custodial wallet. So, like,
okay,
like it doesn't make things worse. It just enables more use cases for people who don't want their own domain or have the nodes behind Tor on like in the basement and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, so in order to be able to pay over Lightning, you already need to be able to talk the Lightning protocol. Like something needs to, you know, pay the invoice, even for key send, you need to be able to send messages. And actually most nodes allow, even over API, they allow you to send like onion messages or normal messages over the Lightning network. So if you are sending sets over Lightning, something already speaks this protocol and is interactive. So using Bolt 12 for getting the invoice is like, you don't add another layer of complexity. You don't need port 443 somewhere. Like, if you are able to receive payment, that means someone is able to somehow reach you through the Lightning network. So I think this is like, it's getting the payment information close to the node.
Mm-hmm.
And you already need this working in order to be able to receive payment. So that's what I'm saying, that adding like LN address with DNS and then pointing to LN URL with the web server, it just adds so much complexity that is like really extra. Like you don't need it to receive payment. So that's my problem with it.
Okay, so let me try to. So with Bolt 11, which is the typical Lightning invoice, the way to pay that is we need this gateway DNS. We need to have this LN. We need to get an LN address. One way to get an LN address is through LN URL. I'm sorry, one way to get an LN URL is to get an LN address, which needs the domain name and needs this gateway thing to reach back to the node. So it needs slightly more infrastructure. Bolt 12 simplifies this by eliminating the kind of like Web 2 technologies and does everything over the Lightning Network.
Yes.
So allow the okay. That makes
which you need to use anyway.
Which you need to use anyway. Because, okay.
Yes.
I got it. So then let's okay. So that's now clear to me. But let's step back even further because there's essentially to participate in Lightning, you have to have a node, right? You need to have channels open. You have to have a node with channels, and I think so. This is like Albi Apocalypse is doing is upgrading everybody's Lightning knowledge, right? Because all of this was just nicely solved by this third party, which was yes. one of the options. We could just go back to some other third party, right? And now we're all trying to figure it out. So but then there's solutions like, for example, Breeze, which like runs a node on a phone somehow.
Yes.
So how can we talk about that? Because you wrote about that a lot in one of your books. And so why isn't this? Because, for example, a lot of the podcasters onboarding people to nodes, you know, they go through channel management, they're helping people open channels, and, you know, they're trying to, like, get people to do it the hard way. So, but if I, you know, why can't I just Breeze, why can't people, what's the Breeze alternative? It's like, look, my phone's always connected to the internet. You know, how, is this not an option, or what's the status with?
It could be an option, but is it always connected to the internet? Like when you take a flight, you will miss some payments. Then it needs to wake you up with like a push notification or something when the payment is received. But I think there are ways to do it.
Okay, so it's like, all right, so we can, you basically need something to just run, you need some daemon running 24, yes. You need a server. A server. And so yes. The server, the architecturally, the server either has to be on a, like, machine that's running in a basement, if you're like, or a DigitalOcean kind of thing, you have to be running this. Mm-hmm. You're running it on your phone, you can do it, but it has all the problems of constant battery drain, this is just, like, not meant for mobile use. But at the end of the day, we have a kind of like a peer-to-peer model at the Lightning layer. That's all peer-to-peer. But in order to send things, we have a client-server model where the apps are clients, and they need to somehow communicate to this peer-to-peer layer to get it to actually push the payment through.
Yes.
Okay, so that's where friction is coming in because at least for me, like, because it's like you think about it peer to peer, and that's what the Bitcoin podcasters and things want to throw around decentralized peer to peer, and that is true at that layer. But for humans and AI bots, which haven't started, I guess, paying each other Lightning. Has the AI not? Have we asked AI to like start making these payments? Like why are we talking about this and not having AI do these payments for us? This is quite sad.
I have consulted heavily with AI on this.
So. Yeah. So what does AI say? Has it not? Is it not at the level of solving Lightning problems yet?
No. Gave up.
Okay. So I think that to me is where I think the friction is, because it's like you still have this client server model and you have a phone, which is the client, and it has to connect to some server to send this payment. Then the question basically at the big layer is that are you running the server or is it a third party running that server?
Uh-huh.
And then that kind of drives a lot of these like payment options and stuff like this. Because if everybody in the world where everyone is running a node, then Keysend basically works just fine. Like that's maybe another option. If everyone just runs a node, then Keysend wouldn't have to actually change, because then it's a linear scaling. Everyone has a node, everybody has a client, then it works perfectly.
So it is, I think, reasonable to ask the podcasters to run their nodes. But if we want to kick this off, I think the listeners, like, they just install something like whatever, Fountain. Yeah. But Fountain supports Keysend, so the problem is with the other ones.
I think maybe
everyone just has to switch to Fountain, but still custodial. Okay, I love Fountain.
Fountain in my mind, the way I'm thinking about this is that, okay, I want to use Fountain, but what I'm doing in order to send a payment through Fountain is I'm loading up a client in the client server model and it asking Fountain via Fountain's whatever API REST service to make this payment. Right. So this is Fountain
it's not
is then
peer to peer. Yes.
Exactly. So for they could be So I guess what's then frustrating to some people then is like, okay, we're in this, if this was like normies, non-Bitcoin people, then you definitely just third party this and make it super easy. But then it's like, all right, people get frustrated is like, all right, we're already supposed to be Bitcoiners, but then it's like those Bitcoiners can't, they're not running nodes, even Bitcoin core nodes. And they're, so that then it's like, so if on one sense it feels a little bit lame if like, we're here, we are trying to make Bitcoin podcasts or whatever, and then everyone's just third partying sending the Bitcoin payment. So it's kind of like, well, did we win?
Well, Nostra is like that, Bitcoiners, they use primal wallets, which ask for your name and whatever.
Right.
And people are lazy. I think we need to support both use cases. Even my mom is a Bitcoiner and she doesn't run her own node. I would gladly run it for her, but she wants to interact with this ecosystem. She has Fountain. She listens to podcasts with value for value, but she's not going to run her own node. So one solution that is kind of in the middle is this, Uncle Jim model that I would run a node for my whole family, basically, which is the Cashew model. Then the Uncle Jims can serve very extended families.
So let's talk about that. Yeah, because this, AlbiHub, which is, I think you can run without sending an email. You don't need an Albi account. I have not. But it now has this feature to do this friend and family model somehow built in. And what I kind of want to explore this a little bit because I think this is perhaps the better model. And it doesn't have to be with AlbiHub, but the Uncle Jim model, because what I think is also, everyone, I don't know, especially in Bitcoin, there's not like a random person out there who's a Bitcoiner who doesn't probably talk someone's ear off about Bitcoin in the physical space. They're in the real world, a networked of node person they're communicating with we're making little anarchist, little, parallel societies around. So this, I kind of like this little model of like, to me, it's almost like a bulletin board service, like an old school BBS. Mm-hmm. You would call, you'd have your old one, you check your messages, and then there was it's also like a Mastodon style thing where you're having this little network of nodes. I guess it's not decentralized, it's distributed, not decentralized. I can't remember which one, but yeah. So this model, I think, is nicer because then you have, the only problem then is you potentially could be holding, you're back into like you're holding other people's money, et cetera, but like, I don't know, at some point, it's in someone's self-interest for them to become the node, the Uncle Jim for another group, right?
Yes.
We're there.
Yes.
So I don't know. This one feels, the only problem with it is that I guess you can't, people just have to volunteerism. It's the same problem with like self-organizing groups. It requires small volunteer leaders-ish to like kind of do this for small groups. But so
Yes, and there's also kind of middle ground such as Fedi, where you can kind of decentralize the. So Fedi is like Cashew, but you have like let's say 3 out of 5 multisig. So there is no single entity that can rug pull
Oh, okay.
you. They would need to cooperate. So that's also neat. So there are kind of shades to this. I think we will have also like a large group that wants to remain custodial. There are like hardcore crypto anarchists that want to run their own node, and there's a lot of space in between, I believe, that we should support. For the Uncle G model, you have Cashew, you have Fedi, and you also have Elanbits that also supports
Oh, right.
multiple users. So all of these are kind of nice. So that's kind of in between. I think, we are talking about small payments here. Hopefully they will become we will all become very rich very soon when Bitcoin does 1 million x. So that can happen, Uncle Jim holding $100 for streaming sets, and then it's suddenly a lot more. So we can all dream.
Yeah, all the channels go down at Jim's house.
But yeah. So I think we should support all of these models. So okay, so one thing that okay, so let's look at it from also from the side of the payer or the podcasting app in this case. Or Nostrap and the receiver side, because that is also something that we have not done systematically. So, payer size side, I think more than anything, podcasts players or people who are making these players, they want just some easy way, some library. They would call and they would say, pay this podcaster for Minute or for Boost. One important requirement, I think, is that it needs to work over web. It needs to work from JavaScript because many of these apps are either like React Native or just pure web apps that don't have like a, they can't run a local LND on the machine because they run in the browser. So, I think this was the primary reason why they were using Albi in the first place, because it was easy. So that's one thing to consider, and I think like the okay the so the question is for Albicalypse, why won't just everyone switch to Fountain? It's also a custodial service. Albi was a custodial service. And we say, okay, your software podcast guru, sorry, it doesn't work anymore. And we are switching to something that works. That's also an option. So my question is, I don't know if you have any idea how many users do these apps actually have? Like, is it 80% Fountain, 20%? Like, I mean, from the value from the value for value, because most people, 99%, don't use any value for value at all.
Yeah, I'm just thinking through some of the shows that where they call out. They've been, because with this Helipad app, they are seeing the keysend payments come in, and it says where the app is coming from. And there's,
Really?
yeah,
Okay. Let me
so they
see.
so they look at when they look at when they read it, they'll be like, BitPunk FM boosted 33/33 from Fountain. So they,
Okay,
yeah,
let me
so they're
see.
when they read this, when they read them, they are able to tell. And I would say it's a pretty, well, I don't know. I feel like Fountain is probably 20% maybe, 'cause and the rest of 80% are other, either Podverse I see a lot of Boost CLI, which I don't know if you know. I haven't looked at that tool, but I see that a lot. It's a command line tool to send a payment. So it's probably sounds similar to this Pay2 thing you have, cool. But for L&D. I'm sure it's L&D, because I think that this they're all running. So Boost CLI, there's a lot of payments that come in through Boost CLI. I think these are mainly, and this kind of, so Boost CLI, Podverse, I think, comes in quite a bit. Podcast, there's another thing called CurioCaster, which I feel like they say is like the OG. This was like, I've heard this is the OG actual like Zap or Boost. I think it's all web-based, actually. CurioCaster.
So how does it work?
Yeah, this is
when it's web-based. Also, Albi probably.
Yeah, right. I think everything was probably Albi. But there's also an issue which I think is less a. Okay, so there's another thing there. Well, we can talk about too is the idea of like Nostr Wallet Connect, which I'm also uninformed about. But
I will talk about it.
Yes.
Okay. There is an app name in the description of the key sent.
So that's how they're
perfect. Let me see. So grep app name. I will do.
You're looking for
boring.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm not gonna parse the JSON. I'm gonna say
throw it through JQ. Just cat it all.
JQ. Okay. I would know. Yes.
Here, you want me to chat GPT or AI how to do JQ? JQ will parse JSON nicely.
I'm just gonna do grep. It's gonna be faster. So
yeah, grep will work.
So app name. Okay. And I have 3,600 key cents and fountain. Is 3,400. Okay. I was also testing Breeze myself, so that's 100. So anything else than Fountain and Breeze in my node is a rounding error. Like
So Fountain, So Fountain's really pushing. So I guess, So on the podcast listener, I would have to say, I don't think I really started boosting people until Fountain. So
yes.
Fountain, I think, really...
There are 30 key sends that are different than Fountain and Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just see what they are. I know you asked someone to boost my podcast because it was not working. So
that
one of them is shoot out to who was it?
Chad F.
Shout out to Chad F.
Yes.
And let's see, app name, Podverse. Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Which is
I'll do grep minus V chedef because
that's
okay. So I have 17 more, and there is one other user of Chedverse, Cypher Citizen. Okay, and then there's someone actually boosting Bitpunk FM where I got the splits. Okay, so seems that if we convince Cypher Citizen and Chedef to switch to something else than Podverse, there is no Albicalypse. There we solve it.
Yeah.
1 hour, 21 minutes.
Yeah. I think to be fair,
I'm not representative.
I think the issue is the Calypse is happening on the podcaster side because there's a lot of podcasters who were onboarded whose key send is going to an Albi. I mean, so for users, I don't think it ever, I don't think it ever mattered really. The OGs were, are using Podverse and some of these other ones.
Yes.
But like this latest wave is coming. Yeah, for sure. I think Fountain picked up a bunch.
Yes. Yes.
And it doesn't really affect them. It affects, I think, a lot of musicians and podcasters who have key send addresses that are going to an Albi run node.
Yes.
And so they're the ones that have to migrate, and then they're like, oh, well, what do I do? What do I do now?
All right. So that's true. Okay, let's finish payer side, but this is a good point. Yes. So basically, what would be cool is a way to migrate from Albi in such a way that there's an API that is easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
And there are three, I think, usable APIs. Mm-hmm. And these are Breeze SDK. So mm-hmm. that's something else than Breeze entirely. It has mm-hmm. nothing to do with the Breeze wallet. It uses Blockstream Greenlight.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is that Blockstream basically spawns a very minimal Core Lightning node in their cloud.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the private keys. So everything that needs sign the commitment transaction or anything like that goes through the API to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it signs the whatever needs to be signed. So they don't hold any funds, so it's non-custodial.
Mm-hmm.
But they do all the gossip chatting on the network and whatever channel graphs and all these things that you mm-hmm. don't want to do on your phone. One of the reasons that Breeze, the original Breeze, is so slow and mm-hmm. Often doesn't find a route to pay mm-hmm. is that it needs to sync the channel graph. So if you turn it on, like if you start the app after a month of not using it,
yeah,
it is really not usable for the first few minutes because it doesn't have the current channel graph. So it needs mm-hmm. to, because it does routing and everything on the phone. With this Breeze SDK, what they do is you run a node, you do everything in the on the Blockstream side,
mm-hmm.
But you still sign the transaction, so you don't give anyone custody mm-hmm. of your funds. So it is quite similar to what Phoenix does.
Yeah.
Phoenix,
oh, right. Yeah,
also the Phoenix wallet. Basically the same idea. Custody keys are in a very small app. I've actually read the source code of the Phoenix wallet. The whole Lightning mm-hmm. part, and it's pretty simple. So Breeze SDK, they have SDKs for app developers, mm-hmm. for native Android and iOS apps. Very usable. For the listener side, it's quite okay because if you're listening to a podcast, the app is running anyway. So
mm-hmm.
No need to stress about battery use or anything. It's like it's the app that is running, and if you send one payment every 10 minutes with batching and it signs a few messages, it's not a problem. And I've checked the API. It is very, very easy to use. So I suggest I would be very thrilled if, for example, Fountain had this as an option. That would be pretty cool because they would not have custody of your keys. And it's a Core Lightning, so it can do Bolt 12. It can pay Allen address, Allen URL, anything. So that's one option on the payer side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. And it's like open source. Of course, Greenlight API is not open source. It's running in the cloud. I don't actually know if you can run their node. Maybe not. But for app developers, it is quite okay. And they're like pretty nice limits even for free use. Okay, so that's one thing. Then I think the problem with this is, of course, web apps cannot use this, as far as I know. It is SDK for mobile native apps, not for just web. But maybe that...
Yeah, but AI can make it the JavaScript API.
Yes. I think they have a JavaScript API, actually.
Okay.
But I'm not sure how well it works. Like, for receiving, it would not work, probably, but for sending,
you're still online. So you're, because the problem with the web app is, we can talk about it later. People try to use Mutiny as a destination, which is a web wallet currently deprecated, and they're shutting it down. Unfortunately, it was a pretty nice project, but that's running a whole Lightning node in JavaScript in a web page. But that doesn't really work, because if your computer goes to sleep or the browser decides that this tab has been using too much energy, it gets shut down. But for sending, I don't think it's a problem. So maybe it could work also for the client side, for the payer side.
Yeah.
Then we have Cashew Mints. They have a REST API, so that's quite nice. Cashew Mints, you can have a basically a very simple Cashew wallet. Cashew wallet is like all the sats are basically a bunch of strings, and you can even use recovery seeds and so on. So payments are very simple, and what you can do is you can call a mint and tell it to, I think the call is melt, which means here is a bunch of tokens, please pay this Bolt 11 invoice. So basically do one API call and you pay. You can also receive, so that's a mint call which gives you an invoice, and if it's paid, you get a Cashew token. So this is pretty nice. You also outsource all the routing, all the things to some software that has a node and everything, so you don't have to run anything. So this is, I think, the most equivalent to, or one of the most equivalent to AlbiHub. Albi, actually, the original one. But you can choose your own custodian. This can be the Uncle Jim model. Problem is, it can't do KeySend. But other than that, I think this would be the best option, maybe, or I don't know. But it seems like a very good option for these, for Podverse and for all these web apps, because you can call it from JavaScript. The client side is pretty simple, and the additionally users can choose their own custodian. I wonder how difficult it would be to actually implement KeySend in the Mint. Probably.
Yeah. So like, this is what. So yeah, because this is what this. I have like two questions here that I'm now mulling over. One is, what is it? What is it about the Lightning Network that requires this constant connection? Right. So what? Like, it's running over TCP, right? Like, what? Like, why is there a keep a lot? Like, what's, you know, if I make, you know, it's a layer above a TCP/IP connection, and these TCP/IP connections are not constantly open. Yeah. They're like, they can come. So what is it? Why does the, you know, what's the deal? Like, why can't it be, isn't there some time where it has to just check? Like, is it once a day, a channel, if it can reach the server once a day, it's fine. Like, what's the
No, yeah, the mobile wallets are not online all the time. Like,
exactly.
Like Breeze wallet is like, if you want to send, if you want to receive, you have to become online. And when you're sending, you exchange the messages, pay the invoice, and you can come offline again.
So in order to, you can be offline, but then no one can send you anything. This is the
yes. But for the podcast player, this is not a problem. So because you're playing podcast and sending or not.
Yeah.
For the payer side, I think this can be a really good solution, and you know, choose your own custodian. And it has pretty good privacy, like the Mint doesn't know your balances, for example.
Right. So let's because is there not a model where, again, kind of like a, I mean, maybe this is the Cashew model. Like if there is just a intermediary node on the Lightning Network that can just it like I want to say I want to send you have a podcast, I want to send it to you, but your podcast, your node is offline. There's no concept of store and forward messages where some intermediary node is going to be like, oh, I can't reach your eye, so I'm going to hold this message until his node comes up and then forward it. This concept doesn't exist, right? Because that
it does to an extent, but like there were invoices that would do this holding. The problem is that. So basically you can have a very long HTLC. HTLC is the lock of the path. So basically what you do is you create a path to the end node. The funds are locked. And then when the receiver claims it, it's claimed all the way back. And the problem here is that unless the node claims the money, there is no way to atomically get fees. And the problem is that the funds are locked in all the channels. So that's why no one wants to hold the invoice for you for 24 hours, because it might not get settled ever, and then however many Bitcoins are locked. So it's a spam fighting problem. That's one issue. So people were kind of playing with this, but this is the problem. But Cashew would be a little bit kind of trusted intermediary that can do this. So basically it would be like an email server, you know.
Yeah.
It would receive the email for you. Okay, it can go down and rug pull you and steal your email. But when you come online, you just download it and then it's yours. So
yeah,
I think this is kind of a good middle ground. So especially for the cases when you are like online very often, but not like
right
super all the time. Yeah. So,
which, you know, I don't know, like the what has kind of impressed me about, you know, Lightning is like how little, I haven't heard of too many like major Lightning hacks or Lightning, you know, based, like, you know, I think there was more in the OG Bitcoin wallet days of like things, all this happening, but Lightning is all, everyone's hot walleting. Or the whole thing's a hot wallet. And, like, you know, I don't know if there's been a major O-Day in one of these nodes that has just wiped out. I
don't know.
We don't know of one. But, like,
There were some bugs. There were, I don't know of any, like, super, I've heard about one hack, actually. It was with the there was a well publicized hack that actually ended up in the Bitlify wallet that I mentioned, the Czech one.
Okay,
that's why I remember it. I was actually replying to the victim of this hack, because they said, oh, I know where my money ended. It was on this note and it's Bitlify, so just give it back to me.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's a custodial note for many users, doesn't do KYC.
Yeah.
And the funds were sent immediately somewhere else, so they don't have the funds anymore. So they couldn't really help him. Yeah, I think there are hacks.
Okay.
But you like how the wallets, no?
Well, this is my, this is my, you know, everyone's wants to say, I mean, this is just everybody, for example, the hardware wallet stuff, everyone goes, oh, you can't have a mobile wallet, whatever, but like, we're all doing this with Lightning, and maybe the amounts are smaller, but there's still the opportunities there, and, you know, everyone seems to be okay. Like, You know. So I don't.
Well, watch until the first hardware wallet does a Lightning wallet, which is possible. It's not actually.
Right, but yeah, I mean, okay, you say that perhaps trollingly, but this is my point. You know, it's like, what's a hardware wallet that does Lightning? It's a mobile phone. I mean, it's going to be like, what do you? I mean, do you want it to be connected? Do you want it to be the node? Because you could also probably take a Lightning node, which is like some PC, plug it into a Trezor and have the Trezor do the signing. I mean, if you want to do that, I mean, like, but then, you know, what's the issue is, then we're back to, this is my issue with these hardware wallets, you're back to like some automated, so yes, the key could stay in the Trezor, but you're not going to go run to the basement every time to press a button to like stream sats, you know, like now it's an automated
for the node. Yes.
Yeah, it's for the node, so it's protected because it's protected from the node having a software vulnerability of exposing the key. But now we're back to like, well, if the node is compromised, it could potentially send it because it's going to be automated. So like, you know,
it wouldn't make sense if you if the sending was automated if you couldn't confirm it doesn't need to confirm it. But you can definitely set up some rules. You can say, you know, only send this amount, and you can actually do it like this amount per day, and you get the current day by block headers. So that's possible.
Yeah.
And, but the main problem with hardware wallets with Lightning was that you need to sign much more often, because if you have, for example, a routing node, you are changing channel states all the time. But you actually you can sign the message or sign a channel state that gives you more sets than you had. So if you are receiving, then yeah, I'm glad to sign anything that gives me more money than I had.
Right.
Why not? You can do that in a hardware wallet. For routing, that's the same case. You have two channels, and you end up with more sets because you collect a fee. So, you need to sign two channels at the same time. But you can also do that. So, in principle, there is like even a routing node can a hardware wallet, and you don't need to click anything. But yeah, for listening to podcasts, that wouldn't work.
Right. Okay.
All right. So cache should be explored. Maybe we can look into integrating KeySend into cache. And if we do that, then all the web apps can just switch to cache from AlbiHub. And
So in this case, you would have a cache. So it'd kind of be like the podcast clients would have cache tokens. And then when they want to send...
No. Podcast clients, what do you mean by podcast clients? Your browser, basically.
It could be browser,
local storage, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is the client. Yeah. And it's client software.
Yes, it
has a cache token. And when it wants to send, it will send the token to...
The Mint?
It'll send it to the Mint, which is then also a Lightning node.
Yes.
And then, so this Mint could
and
also...
there is literally API call saying, you know, pay this invoice, here's the token.
Yeah. So, and then the podcaster could then get KeySend because there's, again, this translation.
Yes, but the KeySend is not there, but maybe even like having an... So there's this Melt API call.
Yeah.
Wait, let's see if it actually can...
You're saying right now... Oh, okay. Yeah, so...
Cache Melt. Cache Melt is not something to search for. I got organic cashew.
Yeah.
Wow, I should buy this.
Cashew butter. Okay.
Okay, cashew API Melt Bitcoin. Protocol specification. All right. Should I contact my friendly... My friendly AI Googling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the protocols are in files numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's the documentation. So cache Mint API melt syntax. Okay. Search online. Anyway, okay, so...
Okay, so this...
Search for this. And,
yeah, okay, so this is... But the problem is... the issue is... So this would... Let's just assume... Let's say they did it. So I guess there's a few problems. One, Cashew on the pod... Really, we're talking about like five major podcasts anyway, so... Like, they'd have to, like, learn about Cashew and integrate things. And Cashew's kind of, I think, changing rapidly. So I can see the hesitation from a podcast client to, like, integrate Cashew, perhaps. The second issue is, the benefit would be then the podcasters could keep their Lightning nodes with Keysend, and they would just do the translation. So it's just, but that's the...
Yes.
And then the other thing, all right, so that's Cashew. But then how does... Because I think in that same section you have, I'm looking at your mind map. You have Nostr Wallet Connect, which often comes up. Which,
okay.
Yeah.
So people don't. So it's probably the most stupid name ever invented for a technology. Nostr Wallet Connect doesn't have much to do with Nostr. So it is using Nostr relays, but it's totally unrelated to Nostr. So.
Okay.
What is it? What it is? It is a protocol, standardized protocol, with which an application such as Podverse can talk to a wallet. That's it. The Nostr thing there is that it doesn't call the API of the like the endpoint, like a Cashew Mint or Albi or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it sends a message through a Nostr relay, and that's for solving this exact problem that you don't have a domain or web server or open port or anything like that. So it can actually run on your phone, and you would agree on one or a set of Nostr relays that are used just for encrypted communication. So you could have your wallet on your phone. Which supports Nostr Wallet Connect, and then you just exchange these connect strings, which have some key material that authorize this app, for example, a podcast player, to control your wallet and pay invoices on your behalf. You can have rules there, like maximum amounts that can be paid or something like that. So this is ideal because it doesn't... it is usable from web apps because Nostr is just a REST API, Nostr relays, so you don't need to, connect to funny TCP ports or whatever. You don't need port forwarding. It is encrypted. The privacy is not very good of this, but okay, it's two random keys talking to each other, and so you don't see in the messages. But you see all the metadata, so that's
the people see the metadata between the client and the relay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So the over a normal TCP connection, or HTTP in this case.
HTTPS. Yes.
HTTPS. Okay. Okay. Yes. So okay. Yes. So it's no different than the internet.
No, but the relay sees which pub key writes to which pub key. I think so. That's.
Oh, okay. But why would you not? Why would you not run your own relay in this case?
If you're running a web-based app and a phone wallet, then you're probably not running a relay.
Okay, so in this
Podverse can run their own relay, of course. So
Okay.
I think this is not such a big problem. So, basically, this is. This is one of the ways how you can replace the Albi API in a standardized way. The problem is the support of wallets. So not many wallets actually allow incoming Nostr Wallet connect connections or support the protocol. The weird thing is that
like when you see the page with support,
yeah,
you don't know which site. So for example, BTC Pay Server, which is awesome, I use it. It says that it supports Nostra Wallet Connect, but from the other side. So if you create a store, uh-huh, it can use a third-party Nostra Wallet Connect to generate invoices and receive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is good if you have an e-shop and you want to use BTC Pay Server, but you don't want to run the node on the server, or it's like your friend or something. It can pay directly to someone's wallet, but that wallet needs to support Nostra Wallet Connect. And unfortunately, the list of actual wallets that can be used for paying on the, we are still on the payer side, is not that good. Let's see, Nostra Wallet Connect. So there's Albi.
Okay.
For one more month, and let's see, Bitcoin Wallet. So there's Albi, Mutiny, which is also going to be discontinued, Casa OS, Cashew.me, so that's a cash wallet, which is quite nice because you could support cash wallets. There's Coinos, which is pretty awesome as well. It's a custodial wallet. I think people have been talking about.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
Coinos, LiftPay. Which I don't know. Micronaut, I also don't know it. Mutiny is going, and then Umbrella and Start9.
Okay,
but that's it. So no Phoenix, no Breeze, no Zeus.
Okay, interesting. But even,
but yeah, there are options like Cashew.me. I think is a good option, and if you have Umbrella or Start9.
So when you say cashew.me, is it, I can then have some app, and if it supports Nostra Wallet Connect back to cashew.me, it will send the cashew token, or it will do the melt to send the,
this is a Lightning protocol, so it only deals with Lightning invoices.
Oh, okay.
So it will kind of abstract. So you would have so cashew.me is a wallet for cashew.
Mm-hmm.
So it stores the tokens, but the Nostra Wallet Connecting would be used just to pay invoices and receive and convert it to cashew tokens.
Okay, perfect. So I could have a podcast player, and if I want to send a boost, and if I'm using Nostra Wallet Connect to connect to cashew.me, and I have cashew tokens in there from the...
Any mint that you want, yes.
Any mint I want. It'll basically look like I'm sending a Lightning payment, but because it'll just melt whatever cashew tokens it has to do on the back end.
Yeah.
To satisfy
I think so. I hope so. We haven't tried. Two problems that I see.
Okay.
First is still doesn't do key send. Second is cashew.me is a web wallet. So same thing.
Does it
run always?
Oh, right.
But on the client side, but you would need to have it open in some tab because it's a web app. So same with Mutiny. So
yeah. Okay. I don't know. All this is coming to me like, all this is saying to me that we're, you know, basically a lot of these problems go away if you run a daemon somewhere.
Yes.
And I think like whether that is on some sort of cloud thing or, you know, whatever. But this is like the fundamental problem we're coming back to. It's like we need these things need always on computers somewhere. And if you have that, and you can either...
For the player side, it can just be like it can be the model similar to Ember, for example. Ember is a Nostra signer that runs on your phone, and any Nostra app running on that phone can just use it.
Sure, so sure.
You can do the kind of same thing.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to clarify. Yeah, the sender, I guess, can be asynchronous, kind of in and out. But like, I think it. But it seems like in this kind of, if we're trying to make this circular parallel society where it is like everybody is both the sender and receiver, then it really seems like, oh.
Yes, you are right. I would love if everyone ran their own node, but I just got an idea. So the Cashumi wallet is open source. So basically, the podverse can just put it right in the app, like
exactly.
The JavaScript inside.
Yeah.
It can run in the same tabs.
So. Oh, nice.
That is not a problem. So the only thing is it doesn't do key send.
Yeah, so Podverse,
but
yeah,
that can be like,
I don't know.
I'm very inclined to create an API call to a cashew mint that just pays key send, and then I'll be Calypse is over,
and then take the, you know, I don't think anyone have any issue with like the routing fee or whatever. You know, having
no, I don't want to run the node, here's the code. Here's the code. You know,
okay. So you would have this like a client library, let's say, of code that would allow
client and server, and also the Cashew Mint needs to support the API call. That's the like the client library really is, you know.
Yes. Yeah,
here's tokens and send them to this node and this description.
I think Cashew really for these kind of small payments is really nice. Like the amount of that's kind of what I was kind of like hinting at with this hot wallet thing is like, you know, it's the no one is sending amount where this is going to be an issue, and it's like everyone's using their phones anyway, so. To me, the Cashew, and what I like about the Cashew Mint model is, it really can be pushed down to Uncle Jim, or it could be some service doing it, like it, you know, from Albie's point of view, if it was running, I mean, Albie would probably, you know, it could run a mint, and it would all, you know, it would no longer be, I know, I guess it's a legalese of whether it's not actually custodying funds, but if it's not holding the tokens, you know, there could be an argument.
Yeah, like it has the sats, so. But let's not even go like what is illegal, like if you do it for your family or just.
That's the better way. Yeah. That's completely the better way, But then
you can do this also with AlbiHub, so.
Yeah, okay. Let me try to summarize everything we talked about. So like I'm gonna look at your chart here and try to
Then we have the receiver side, so maybe we should summarize after or
yeah, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, receiver side, I think Bolt 12 would be the easiest. No port forwarding, no DNS, no HTTPS. It's not much more chatty. It is a little bit more chatty, but we are chatty anyway. It's not super widely supported. So, I think, honestly, Bolt 12 in 2 years will be the choice, and we would have to deprecate everything else. We'll see. Anyway, my question is, do we need to support key send in the future? Depends on what users will switch to after Albicalypse. Maybe not even.
Well, the one thing I think is, I think one thing that is the people like about key send is this sending this message with the payment. And I don't know.
You can do that with Bolt 12 definitely, and also with LNURL. Yeah,
okay,
you can
with it. Okay, because I feel like there was some discussion where it became difficult to send some sort of message with the payment and some other of the payment methods.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think this was. I remember that being talked about, but I don't know. I don't know. Unfortunately, the details there.
And my question is, if it would be wise to do like multiple options, like say, you know, I did this podcast, this is Yuri, this is my node, you can send me, this is my Bolt 12, you can you can pay the offer, and this is my LN address, and whatever your client supports, you're free to do it. I don't know, like there's pros and cons for having multiple options, because like in order to be able to receive everything or like all the sets that people can send you, the best would be to have all the options, but then, you know,
every
podcaster would have like three things, which is probably not optimal. So another way to handle this is to basically have services that would convert, maybe even in like semi-custodial way. So some kind of bridges, exactly. So I would say, okay, here's my Bolt 12 and LN address, but if you want to key send me, just use a bridge or something like that.
Yeah. The people in the driver's seat here, I think, are really the podcast apps, right? They're the ones that are really, because I think the podcasters are going to set up whatever they can set up, but it's the apps. Without the apps, the ecosystem doesn't really exist. Which is why I think, you know, like Oscar from Fountain and stuff is driving. They're really driving. I mean, there's a lot of also smaller apps who are really driving the thing, because they're the ones that are making it easy for the users to send the payment to the content creators. So I don't know if they, care to your question about, do you need to support Keysend? I don't know that anyone, I've never, like, as a listener, being like, oh, this is actually going, it's not really upfront in my mind that this is like key send. To me, I'm sending a lightning payment.
Yes.
So I don't know that it has to be
The question is what, like, let's take the example, you know, I have a guest on my podcast. They're not lightning gurus. When I sell it to them, you know, you should have this. I always tell them to use Fountain. Yeah. And I'm not saying to them, you will receive money, because they will receive 3,000 sets. Unfortunately, we're still sending micropayments, waiting for the boosts and so on for this podcast. But what I'm telling them is, this is a way to interact with the audience. So if they have a comment, they can send a boost with a comment, and you can see it in your Fountain app, and you can, like, you can kind of live with the podcast. This is a commenting section of the podcast, you know?
Yes.
But then, you know, I don't want them to, because the guest can be whatever, an Austrian economist that has a phone and they don't run their node. And, and this is actually a way how I want to onboard them. So so it needs to be easy also on the receiver side. I don't think... But it is easy. Like with Fountain, it is easy. It is custodial for the 3,000 sets that they will get.
Right. Yeah.
Another thing is, of course, like, for example, many of them have Phoenix wallet, so they also have a Bolt 12 already.
Yeah.
So they usually have Bolt 12 before they have a like a key send and Lightning address. So.
Right. Yeah, I guess you know, in that case, honestly, even all the stuff we talked about, they honestly really don't even care like what the thing is. It's just a matter of how does somebody onboard, you know, like it's just really, I think we were talking about this earlier. It's like the medium is the message, right? So you have the fact that you're getting some sort of Bitcoin payment is the message. Right. Yes. That is, you know, that is, it's like, oh, and then here is the, you know, there. So that is driving this thing. Yes. And there's all this comment that is with it, is riding with it. That is like the combined, like, oh, you know, it's the similar to someone sending me a postcard. You know, it's like that, if I'm forcing them to post, right? It's like, how do you want to communicate with this? And then it's, you know, so I of all this. I think a lot of to bring it to a higher level, this is like the onboarding discussion, but onboarding, I think, is always going to be difficult in a decentralized world. Like, it's not, people want to keep making onboarding easier, but you only make onboarding easier when centralized players, you know,
yes,
come into it. Like, they're, you know, this is the pros and cons, you know. So it's, people want decentralization, but also easy onboarding. And I think,
yes,
I don't think they understand.
I don't think it needs to be too easy. Like, I don't want the normies.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't. Yeah. But
it shouldn't involve, you know, syncing Bitcoin blockchain in the basement node for 2 days and setting up SSH keys. And so there's.
But like, you know, if we can so all of this is assuming that it's hard to run a Bitcoin node, right? But that's basically we've taken the assumption it's hard to run this Bitcoin node. And because that's hard, we've been dancing around all this. The other thing is it could just become easier to do that, right? You can imagine, I mean, hardware, you know, is always getting hard. The only thing that is, you know, deflationary is computer hardware, right? It just keeps getting cheaper. Yes. It's the only other consumer product that just keeps getting cheaper.
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, there is going to be, you know, a time where, like, I mean, I just recently got a, like, small mini notebook thing, a notebook or, like, a B-Link kind of computer. I think it was, like, $249 for, like, a 32-gigabyte RAM, 500-gigabyte NVMe, and it was, like, an Intel i5 or something. So, I mean, I think it would probably... Obviously, you'd want more storage, but like, that's pretty reasonable for like, and it's a pretty lowish power. I think it was like 50 watts or something like this. But you know, eventually those are going to also come down. I guess that's my other point here is that the hardware, we can just take advantage of the fact of that. I mean, we can keep trying to solve this with software, but in a year, the hardware will be cheaper and faster. In another year, you know,
And a hardware wallet is what, 79 euros for Trezor Safe 3.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that's another. You're getting a whole Intel compute thing that, with a GPU and everything, and or you can get two. You can get, you know,
I think,
one and a half.
I think everyone should have a note for Bitcoin, for photos, for like backups, for like. Home camera systems, like you shouldn't upload it to Chinese cloud. Soon, hopefully, you know, some kind of AI, like local inference. Like, I'm very much for it. I have actually, it was in my, I wrote a small book on cypherpunk visions, and there I was kind of hoping for, it's not a book with predictions, it's my like hopium, and didn't talk about Bitcoin price, but there's a chapter about like home nodes, and they're useful for many things besides running whatever Bitcoin Lightning node. You know, you can really do useful things at home. Control your
IoT,
whatever IoT, and exactly, and like everyone already has a router at home, some sort of router, some sort of Wi-Fi access point. You want your laptop backups? Like, where do actually? Apple stopped making these time machines or time capsules.
Yeah, right.
They had these ones, and so where do people keep their backups now? They run a NAS or plug in a hard drive or something. So it's like many people actually already have some kind of node. So
exactly.
But it should be easier to
run
a Lightning node. PhoenixD is amazing actually for this.
Even in the intermediary or intermediate. You know, if you could just do, I mean, so not quite as something as like Voltage where you're like getting like Lightning nodes as a service, but like if you just spun off, if there was a cloud, someone basically gets a Hetzner box and then they say, okay, I'm going to Proxmox or whatever, VM out this thing. And I'm going to spin up a bunch of virtual nodes for people. You know, from their point of, you know, they look like they're hosting IT services. And then it's like, you use that to get thing until people like decide to bring it back. I mean, I don't know. It's like I get the part of the, I think the frustration here is like we're dancing around the problem that people just can't, you know, we're trying to make it easy for people. Like you said, the guy, the Austrian economics guy with just the phone. But it's like, at what point do you bend over backwards to, I mean, that could also be another solution, right? It's just like, say, screw it. We're not going to do Keysend. We're going to stay on Keysend. And if you want to participate, you got to run a node. I mean, that's also another option. And just see who sticks around.
But it can be custodial as well. I think
yeah.
Like this is what I like about Bitcoin and like free software, open source, is that there are many options. There's like, you can, there, like, you know, with the Bitcoin thing, you know, I don't know what wallet you run. It just works with other wallet. So, and people are experimenting and some people take risks. Some people, you know, grandmas use ETFs. Anyone can do whatever they want. So that's what's nice. And I think this is what we should keep. So that's another thing I didn't super like about the podcast we were mentioning. We should put a link to it, which by the way, I really like the podcast, but this particular part was like when they were playing with Strike. I'm like, okay, Strike, yes, you have like your site is tied to US and few other countries and people who can do KYC, who actually have the papers. Passport with the correct logo, but there are many people who just can't do that.
Yeah.
So I think the message here is that, or my wish, I don't know, message, but my wish is that we keep it as open as possible. And like they were not against it, of course.
Yeah, right, right.
Say that it's the only solution. But like the first options I would consider would be those that are most available. And again, like Fountain here, you can even buy sats on Fountain with like Google Pay and Apple Pay. You don't even need to know what Bitcoin is.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, can just top it up, probably for a high fee. I don't know.
I didn't even know that. Yeah.
But it's like you can onboard people to this value for value thing, even if they don't know what Bitcoin is. So it's quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, Fountain's definitely like the main one I'm using. Though I love Fountain. I think Oscar is doing a great job. Sadly, I think as it got, I mean, it's got to be difficult as the app developer, but I feel like it got better with Noster integration and it has some very cool features with paying and stuff, but then it got worse as a podcast player. Like it just does weird things for me. Like when I play and then I come back to the app and then it has like the other episode or it just like,
yes.
So yeah. So sadly, I
reported this bug and Oscar said that it should be fixed, but I think it's not as fixed as
that's okay. I would
hope. For me, I have this project now that's called Load It For Me. Load It For Me.
Yeah.
And I have, like, I don't have a business model for it. So it basically what it does is you register. I don't even ask for an email. It just
I like that part.
Make up username and password, and you give it a link to an article, and it turns it into a podcast episode in your own private podcast feed. So if you can't read podcasts or don't have time for it, you have your own private podcast. So I thought that I would just add value tech for it. Because, you know, I run the software. It's running right behind me. Like a server infrastructure. Sure. It's running on Mac Mini. So I thought, okay, it would be neat to have value tag there.
Yeah.
But Fountain, for some reason, is not sending sets if it's a private RSS feed. So if I just add it manually as an RSS feed, which is custom for you, it's not in podcast index or anywhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't stream sets at all. So
oh, interesting.
So that's another bug. But I switched to Fountain. Like I used Pocket Cast before, which was a really good podcast player, by the way. I think and still is, but doesn't do payments. Yeah. So I'm happy with Fountain. It has its bugs.
I think
custodial wallet, but it's
No, I think I agree. It's the same situation. Pocket Cast. Also, for example, the one thing is that when you're in the car, Pocket Cast will actually pause the audio of the podcast, play the car navigation, and then resume. Where most other podcasts will just soften the background
audio.
Yeah,
that's right. I didn't notice it, but
I know
you're right.
This is amazing about Pocket Cast, that when you're listening to something, you actually want to hear it. Just lowering the volume doesn't cut it. You actually have to pause it. And that podcast is one of the few that has this feature.
Okay.
Yeah. So unfortunately, this is what I mean by as a podcast player, I think Pocket Cast is probably one of the top ones.
I like the feature that it's trimming the silence, like when you listen to Lex Friedman and he thinks for 15 seconds.
Right.
I don't really need to wait. Let him do the thinking.
Yeah. So it has some of these nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, let's try to summarize.
Yes.
Let's try to do a nice, Steve. And I'll try to do this here. And then, so we talked about types of Lightning payments, of which you have basically had three things. We got Keysend, which is like the OG, what currently podcasting is running on now, the main one. And then there's invoice-based ones, which are Vault 11 and Vault 12. And then this kind of third method is a kind of cashew kind of hybrid thing. So these are like in the Lightning ecosystem, you can do these things. And then, how does this work with value? The current method is Keysend, so that's what everyone's doing. Invoicing with Vault 11 has this kind of awkward issue of with an LN URL. You got to get the LN URL, which needs something to communicate back to the node, and with an LN address is a nice way to look up the LN URL. But then there's like the stole this bridge thing. And then the only thing I think we didn't talk about, but what I think the podcasting 2.0 thing was talking about was using an LN URL with this options JSON section, which would then possibly have a Keysend address in it as a backwards compatibility layer. So the idea would be, and I think Oscar was even trying to push this to get it in the LN URL spec. But basically, one kind of transition thing would be all the podcasters set up LN URLs, which still breaks, all the existing podcasts. We switch over to LN URL. But then you have this options field, which then can have multiple different payment methods. Currently, you would have Keysend, Vault 11, and then, Vault 12. And when that comes along, you would just add that to your options JSON. So you
why not add it to the RSS specification of the value recipient? That would be better, I think.
Okay, so then in the value tag, you want to put one.
Here's my Keysend. Here's my Vault.
Oh, yeah.
The LN URL. Here's my Vault 12. And
yeah, I feel that's interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Because then you could, it already has the Keysend address, so you could just have the XML. Pick whatever. Yeah, why bother doing the lookup? I feel. Yeah, okay. All right. That would be
because then there's something you need to look up, and then there's some server that needs to do this. And
you already have the RSS. Yeah.
And it would also break the compatibility because the old apps that understand the old RSS feeds would not understand this. So I would say,
interesting. Yeah, just change the XML to have a different option
Especially in a backward compatible way,
I don't know. Yeah, but I would send that to him because I'm not sure.
Okay.
So that one, I feel, I'm not sure. Okay, so then let's see. So then, Vault 12, the benefit. So I had mentioned the two benefits of the Vault 12 were the privacy for the sender. You have the static QR code, and the thing that you informed me about today was that it basically the third marketing bullet is that it communicates only through the Lightning Network. So we eliminate all the Web 2 stuff. So those are the three marketing bullets of why people should care about Bulk 12. Okay, Noster has similar problems. Is, you know, basically if you think of Noster content creators as podcasters, they're content creators, they have similar issues. They want to get paid, or they can get paid in payment. So it's really a similar group. So that I think your thesis is trying to think about them similarly. So we solve it kind of like more generically for this kind of situation. And then, yeah, so then Lightning Wallets, we have, you know, basically that stole the same case, non-custodial, custodial, that, you know, run a server, don't run a server. This is going to be the trade-off, like, forever. This problem is just you just have to decide whether or not it's worth it to do all this, or you be okay with the custodial solutions, right? Way forwards.
Well, you can run a non-custodial wallet on your phone, but just not to receive.
Okay, yeah. And then there was the other kind of interesting one there, which I'm kind of thinking about, is that Greenlight model. Unfortunately, kind of locked to Greenlight, but I'm kind of like, the thing that when you were mentioning this, what I'm wondering is like, if it would be nice if there was a more generic way where people could run, imagine like you can run open, some other Lightning service provider could run a Greenlight model where they run the nodes and then allow people to do it. Like that would be interesting, I think. But right now, currently only Blockstream has this capability. Okay. And then, yeah, way forward, yeah, you get really, this is the, there's two sides to keep thinking about, the payer side and the payee side. Yeah, kind of like, I think the kind of thing that you're bringing up is like trying to make this thinking about how it works in a web kind of progressive, we didn't talk about progressive web apps, but really web kind of like client things, making sure it's compatible there. And then the receiver side, you know, all those same issues. Like, again, Vault 12 seems to be the kind of standard where we no longer need DNS. Everything's Lightning Network. Unfortunately, not going to be ready for Albi Clips. So there's this thing in the middle, maybe. But all of this is to say that, I don't want to say it's all very new, because I feel like everyone says it, but like, this is, this is just I actually don't think this is going to really, you know, this is, to me, is what the whole ecosystem is about. Like, we're building all this from the ground up. Like, so I don't even like I don't really say like the word new or early or whatever, but like, we're all contributing to this collective idea of what we understand this is, what it is we want, and it's being built out in kind of like this small little anarchist groups of things. So, I mean, this is just how this works. Like,
this is Bitpunk.
Yeah, this is Bitpunk. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So this is it. This is the nature of the beast. Like, you know, I don't think this is ever going to, I don't know. I don't think this is ever really going to change from this, really. Because, like I said, you can get it to be easier, but then you're on Coinbase, and that's super easy. And
yes,
we could have that, you know, but like that's the alternative. Or you have to work in this thing where now it's relationship-based, you know, you have to talk, you're talking to people, working this out, you know. And I think that's, like, there is no, I guess what I'm saying is, I think people say we're so early imagining a future where this gets easier. I'm saying this is not going to get easier. We're here. We're in the future. Like, this is it. Like, this is going to be this forever, or we adopt a Coinbase model and that's how it gets easier.
It is going to be easier for the users, I think, but imagine from the other side, I was learning like coding and things in early 1990s. And like, I can't imagine how anyone could learn what I know now about the current technologies, like from the start. Like, I wouldn't even know where to start, you know? There was like ZX Spectrum Basic,
right.
One book that was like 30 pages long, and then, you know, there's like, I remember like early days of Bitcoin. We had a hackerspace in Bratislava, and we had Amir Taki, amazing guy, and he spent a lot of time in Bratislava. And one day he drew like a tree, like a mind map, on like this, you know, office board papers, like these big papers. And he said, this is everything that you can know about Bitcoin. Like, there is nothing more, because he has written parallel implementation, which was LibBitcoin, which did everything. It was a node, it had like Bitcoin script, everything. So I'm going to teach you everything about the technology, not the philosophy, but everything about the current technology of Bitcoin. And he spoke for, I don't know, maybe 2 days. But like, we knew every byte. We knew, you know, this is like, this is, these are the opcodes. This is what they do. This is, you know, what the current discussion is about. But it was like one big tree.
Yeah.
But you could do it over a weekend.
Right.
And then you knew everything there was to know about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And we have been talking for 2.5 hours just about ways how to send Lightning payments.
Right. Yeah.
And
not even.
And we didn't even speak about the bytes, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's a very high level.
Yeah.
So it's going to get more complicated.
Yeah. It's going to
get for the technological side. You're absolutely right about it.
Yeah, I think that's okay. I think you know, I think that's, yeah, it's, I mean, no one, but these, but that's the thing with technology that works on abstraction layers. Like, I am in the middle of, like, you know, soldering things to chip pins and looking at a microscope for, you know, like a JTAG pinouts. Right, but most people don't even think about this, and it, like, they can go on and do quite many things with software without realizing that there's these lower-level protocols that can change the CPU. So, yeah, I think...
There is an RFC. Where is it? RFC 1925, the 12 networking truths. From 1996, and there's the number 6A, which is a corollary of 6, is it is always possible to add another level of indirection.
Yes.
It's a very good RFC. So this is what this podcast and our discussion has been about, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Layers of indirection, you know, Lightning and Bitcoin and LN address and LN URL, and you go look up something here and there, and DNS.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think. Yeah. This. Well. I mean. I think this helped. I definitely now feel a lot more clear on all the different options. You definitely did the lion's share here with this. I don't know if you're going to make this mind map. I think people would really appreciate this.
I can share it. I didn't update it with your inputs though, so it's just this. We didn't talk about everything, though.
Yeah, well, no, I think that's fine.
There's one last thing. There's BIP353, which is a way how to publish Bolt 12 offers in DNS that look exactly like LN address, but use a completely different protocol.
Okay, yeah. That's good. We can save that one, I think. No, I think, this is... No, I think, and I think people would appreciate this because it's big enough where you, I mean, I really like mind map. How did you make this? What software did you use to make this mind map, by the way?
XMind, this one.
Oh, yeah, I have the same. I have XMind, yeah. So I thought I recognized it. So, yeah, I personally like mind maps, and I think it's this, something like this, because you start going down a path and then you realize there's other things that connect and relate to it. So it's, I think, yeah, exactly. I think people would really like this. Just make sure it has a date on it, because it'll probably get stale in a month, so make it very obvious that it's That would be my only suggestion. Is
for Albicalypse.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure it's
for December 2024. Right.
Because it'll show up. Yeah. No. Hopefully, people tuned into all this I think was pretty exhaustive. I think what was nice to have your perspective is that, although like I said, really like Oscar, it's nice to have kind of like a perspective that someone who's not necessarily like, and I'm not saying he's biased, but like he's, acting, he's an independent self-rational, doing things in his self-interest kind of thing. So you just have to, and then with your background with the, with all the different payment stuff you've been messing with. So, so you mentioned the pay, but let's just close out with some of the projects that you've been doing with regaining the podcasting, because you just did. You've got the one you just mentioned. You've got a Sea Lightning dashboard. And you just did a YouTube to chapter thing.
Yeah, but that's very simple. But it's also for podcasting 2.0. So basically, with podcasting 2.0, you can do chapters like on YouTube. That you have one podcast and it has like several parts. We will probably have I will do it. I use a service called Auphonic for podcasting. I highly recommend it. It fixes the audio, so the levels and the noise, and it will probably not erase your very cool background.
I have to check my messages,
voicemail. Uh-huh. But it basically fixes the audio with one click, and it uploads it to YouTube, converts it to MP3, creates a summary, a transcript, and chapters. Mm-hmm. But the chapters are in YouTube format, and for podcasting 2.0, we need it in in JSON. And I don't like writing JSON by hand, so I have a small script in Python that converts it. And you can also add images, so that's nice. That each chapter can have a different image. That's what you told me.
Yeah,
I decided to do an episode. I did an episode about meditation. Unfortunately, it's encrypted for most of you because it's in my native Slovak language, but Josh can understand it already. Uh-huh. He's learning Slovak.
A bit, yeah.
And I decided to use all the podcasting 2.0 features that I can, because there's a track that I did until my under my, musician name, which is The Ohm. I had a guest speaker who read a part of Paul Rosenberg's book, so I wanted to send splits to her. Then mentioning I took a zero gravity flight with my friend, and I used the video from the parabolic flight when we are in zero G.
Uh-huh.
So I sent splits to him. So it's like time-based like valid splits. Then for the reading, I wanted pictures for each part of the reading, different pictures, so it's kind of changing. So if you're looking at your fountain or whatever podcasting app, you get like different pictures for the passage from the book. I added the transcript there, which is also a podcasting 2.0 feature, I believe. So I tried to kind of use all of these, but for the JSON, I needed this.
Okay, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah,
that's on my GitHub.
Okay, nice. I have not done so Auphonic. Yeah, because Auphonic does the transcripts. I have not done the transcripts feature yet.
Yes.
And then you're hosting. What host are you using to have the pictures and stuff? You're using a WordPress based.
Yes, I use. PowerPress.
PowerPress.
Blueberry is the company. Mm-hmm. PowerPress, but I'm hosting it myself because I don't want any third-party service. Mm-hmm. But that's basically generating the RSS feed. That's
what okay.
It does.
But
it also supports value time splits and like value for value and everything. So,
but it's pretty easy. Cool. You can upload, because for the chapters I had to. For the chapter artwork, I basically upload them to like Nginx, and then I had to I did it very manually, where I put a bunch of JPEGs in a folder in Nginx, and then called them out by chapters. But
It has a very nice chapter builder
where
you can just click and upload everything. Nice. But the problem is that it didn't save. So I spent 20 minutes clicking it. I think the problem is that you need to kind of publish the episode first and then add the chapters.
Okay.
So I lost everything. So I said, screw it. I'm not going to spend another 20 minutes clicking, writing timestamps and choosing images. So I just took the chapters from YouTube and converted it to JSON with the script.
Yeah.
And it was faster to write the script than to do it manually again.
Okay, I see. Yeah. I think I heard they did that. They wanted the ability to publish the, you know, they wanted the ability for someone else to do the chapters, basically. So you can that way it's decoupled. So you publish and then you can have a chapter. And then you update the RSS to point to the chapters, the chapter.json, and then it allows a third party.
So you can have the builder or you can just give it a URL to the JSON. So
you're out there and cranking out.
What are you up to? What are you up
yeah,
to?
Yeah, so I've got
and the it's
voicemail.
New Bitpunk.
Bitpunk okay. Yeah, the fifth 0.5 is going to be a holiday issue. I have there's going to be a Christmas. There's a guy named Hey Citizen who makes a bunch of decentralized music. He's got a Christmas song called "It's Christmas Time Again." So we're gonna pull that song in. Someone did a reading of A Christmas Carol, also on podcasting too, like a full-on 5-actor narration, like super high quality.
What?
Wow. Yes, super. So
does it do a value time splits based on when each person is speaking?
It just does the like high level value on percentages.
Yeah.
That would be pretty intense. Yeah, so I'm going to pull this in. I did, what I like about the Christmas Carol is that, you know, it gets, you know, kind of pushed down as like socialist propaganda, like this miserly person, you know, but there's like, I personally like the anarchist kind of interpretation of it, where you had this guy who just out of his own free will, had a self transformation event and then realized he should be a better person without any, you know, interaction from the government. Like he just had this like transformative experience. So this is my interpretation that I like of the Christmas Carol. I'll use some clips from that. It's like a 50 minute thing, so it's quite long, but I'll pull in some. And then the big thing, there's two other things, I want to do a FM soldering kit. So I have 60 of these FM radios, they're quite small. They're like, well, smaller than the board is smaller than a cassette. And when you solder them up, it'll be an FM transmitter. So what I want to do on the tape is then kind of do like a solder by numbers, like, all right, like take this. And so we'll go through that. And then you can take your cassette player, plug it into the, take a, your cassette player, plug it into the thing you just soldered and then listen on another FM receiver.
And you have a pirate station. Wow.
And now you have a pirate radio station, yeah. So it'll be quite small, like 10 feet. It's a very, like, but it'll get the idea across. And then the last thing, there's this book. I don't have it. Oh, I do have it. This guy on, one of the first people to leave me a voicemail. This guy wrote the book, The Radiophonics Laboratory. And his name is Justin Patrick Moore. I knew him on Substack. But the conversation went like this. It's like, oh, I have this book. I talk about like electronic music and like radio stuff. And I was like, have you heard about Sig Sally? You know, I did that thing with talking about the 1948 analog encryption. And he goes, yeah, I have a chapter on it in my book. And I was like, just give me the link. I will buy the book. This is it. So it's quite overlaps quite nicely. So I will do a book review. Yeah.
Wow. Book review.
Yeah.
That's
a new thing. So book review. I'll get the audio out, you know, and before the end of the year, and then probably the tapes in January.
Cool. Looking forward.
Yeah, this one should be fun. And then I'll try to pepper in, try to set like a Christmas mood. So maybe some like fire crackling in the background. Introduce it with like some Christmas lounge kind of music, and try to set the audio. Yeah, I don't know if I'll sing yet, but we'll see.
Cool. All right. This has been fun.
Yeah, look.
So, head over to bitpunk.fm to hear the episodes of Bitpunk FM. And
And Option Plus podcast is at optionplus.io.